Welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of academia.edu, and today we're diving into a big one, childhood obesity. Specifically, I'll be unpacking the paper titled Childhood Obesity Research Demonstration Project, Cross-Site Methods, by a large team of researchers, including Chuck Lane. Now, before we even start, I just want to remind everyone, I'm here to present what the paper says, not to take sides or endorse every claim, okay? Academic research is about exploring ideas. We're here to learn, not to draw absolute conclusions. So, what's the core question this paper is wrestling with? Well, the main issue is figuring out whether combining public health and primary care interventions, using what's called the CORD model, can effectively tackle childhood obesity in real, diverse communities. If you've ever wondered, can community programs and doctors working together really make a dent in this problem? Then this is right up your alley. Childhood obesity is, as you probably know, a massive public health concern with consequences for health, well-being, medical costs, even a person's confidence or happiness. It affects families everywhere, so figuring out what actually works is, I mean, absolutely vital, right? Now let's talk about how the researchers approached this. They took three different demonstration projects, one in Massachusetts, one in California, and one in Texas, and, well, tried to evaluate them all together. Each site ran programs that blended public health efforts, like healthier school meals, activity programs, all that good stuff, with changes in primary care clinics, such as using electronic health records to flag at-risk kids or sending families to extra support programs if a child was already overweight. They didn't just stick to clinics or just schools. They went for multi-level and multi-sector change, which is really, like, ambitious. And here's something interesting. The paper spends a lot of time on the evaluation design, which sounds a bit dry, but actually matters a lot. Because every site did their own thing, the researchers had to develop a system of common measurements and rigorous statistical models to fairly compare results. That's kind of like trying to judge apples and oranges using the same tasting notes. Not easy. What did they actually measure? Well, they tracked behavior changes like fruit and vegetable intake, sugar-sweetened beverage consumption, screen time, physical activity, and even sleep. They also measured hard outcomes, weight, BMI, and quality of life. Plus, they kept an eye out for, you know, whether people really got the intended program exposure. Did they actually attend trainings or counseling sessions? Did teachers implement the classroom activities? That sort of thing. Something that stood out to me, and again, not endorsing, just noting, the paper's focus on sustainability. I mean, it's one thing to run a cool program for a few years, but do those changes stick after the funding is over? Are communities able to keep the momentum? Will policies last? Or will vending machines with sugary drinks sneak back into the schools? The researchers designed their evaluation to keep an eye on these long-term effects. And maybe this is a random tangent, but it makes me think about how, after school bake sales, we all promised ourselves to eat healthy. Then a week later, someone brought donuts and, well, we all caved. Sustainability is tough. Cost is another major point. How much do these programs cost? Are they cost effective if you scale them up? The paper's authors collected data like labor costs, equipment, training, and so on, comparing it all to the measurable benefits for kids and families. There's even mention of positive externalities. So, like, if parents also lose weight or get healthier when they join in the program, that's an extra big win. At the end of the day, what does this mean for you as a listener, as a parent, a teacher, or anyone curious about how science can actually change communities? The paper doesn't give the answer to solving childhood obesity, but it offers a blueprint for studying what works. By focusing on careful measurement, real-world settings, and long-term sustainability, it lays the groundwork for smarter decisions and better investments. And again, just to hammer this home, I'm not saying this model is the single solution to everything. It's incremental. It's a chance to learn and adapt. So, as always, academic research moves pretty slowly, and it's never absolute truth, right? It's a conversation, a set of insights we can build on. If you're working in public health, education, healthcare, or heck, even trying to make healthier choices for your own family, thinking critically about evaluation and sustainability is, I think, super valuable. That's all for today's episode of In Depth with Academia. If you like this breakdown or have a paper you want me to cover, reach out. Let's keep exploring, asking why, and maybe eating a few more veggies along the way. See you next time.